Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Second Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 20th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house, even to the artificers and builders, and gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the house which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, so set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, and delivered the house in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king's, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikbath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and had burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humbledst thyself before me and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace, neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, so we have the reign of Josiah. The first portion of the chapter speaks about Josiah's tender age and what he did early on. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, and then in his eighth year as king, he began to seek the Lord God of David, his father. So when he was 16 years old, Josiah himself had what we might call a conversion or a personal experience of actively, decidedly, intentionally seeking the Lord God of David, his father. 4 years later, in the 12th year of his reign, when he was 20 years old, he went out to reform Israel and Judah by taking down altars and grave sites and groves and places of idolatry, by disturbing the grave sites of those priests that ministered at those altars, and by shaking the dust that he ground that he had ground from those idols upon the dead bones of those priests, in witness to their great evil in causing Israel and Judah to sin. So if you read the account in 2 Kings, if you read the account in 2 Kings long about, chapter 19, 20, maybe later, 22, I think it is, chapter 22, what you'll find is you'll find a traveling Reformation roadshow with Josiah at the head, going from altar to altar to altar, breaking everything down, crushing it to powder, digging up the graves of those men that were idolaters, exposing their bones to the sun so they died the death of the covenant breakers, and then throwing dust on their graves. All except for one guy. Right? You remember that? There was one prophet who said, there's a young man coming, a king, a reformer, named Josiah. He'll tear down this place. And so Josiah said, that one there, leave his bones where they belong. He's a faithful one. So that's the first portion. All right. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the governor of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah to repair the house of the Lord his God. So if we can keep the chronology straight here, in the eighth year of his reign, he sought the God of David, his father, and from the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. So looks like it took about 6 years to get that done. In the 18th year, he didn't return to Jerusalem until the job was done. Can I just make a little statement for work ethic here? We're given something to do, we work until it's done. Children, learn that lesson. Learn the lesson of when Josiah went out to set about the work of reforming Israel, that he didn't return until it was done. He didn't go halfway and say, okay, now I've obeyed. Halfway obedience is how much obedience? Not obedience at all. So Josiah shows us here the resolve that he had to obey the Lord his God as a good king, as a good magistrate. He did not return to Jerusalem until he was done. And it took about 6 years. So, at the end of that 6 years, he comes back, and now he's done his job. He can sit back on his throne, eat, drink, and be merry, right? He said, no, not done yet. Now we've got to repair the house of the Lord. And so then they start on that. This guy cannot be stopped. So we've got the countryside done. Now we're going to fix Jerusalem. And so as a faithful magistrate, he makes sure the money comes in, it's distributed to the right men, and they're given commandment to repair the house of the Lord. They dealt faithfully, they rebuilt the house of the Lord, and oh, we found a book. We found a book in the middle of the house. And so they bring the book out, and it is described as the book of the law of Moses. Don't know what it is, except that it is some portion or all of the Pentateuch, and scholars are divided as to what it was. Some believe it's the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Covenant, those next four chapters that are the applications of the Ten Commandments. Some think it's the book of Deuteronomy. I'm inclined myself to think it's Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy speaks more fully of the curses that would come if the children of Israel turned away from the Lord. It's just my opinion. No dogma here. It is something of the Pentateuch. It may have been all five books. It may have been that Josiah sat for a reading of all five books of the Pentateuch. It may have been that he sat for a reading of Deuteronomy. It may have been that he sat for a reading of the Ten Commandments. I don't know. But whatever it was, notice Josiah's reaction to the reading. He rent his clothes. He weeps. And he believes. That's the most important part. He believes. He believed the Lord when the Lord said, if you turn away from me, I'll send a nation and destroy you. If you turn away from me, I will turn away from you. If you worship other gods, I will leave you to call upon them in the day of trouble. I will not hear you when you call on me. He believed what the Lord said. And he wept. And so he immediately then dispatched an embassage, if you will, a commission. He erected a commission and sent them to the prophetess of that day. Notice that they had a prophetess at all is a witness to their sins. The Lord raised up prophetesses when he would chastise his people. Normally, they would have expected prophets. But that's not to say Huldah was bad. She was a great woman. Deborah, great woman. They did their jobs. They did the jobs that the Lord had commissioned them to do. And so here is Huldah doing her thing in the college, it's called. No, they didn't have a university there. What they had was a suburb. You know, if you have the city of Jerusalem, if I can reverse this, it's kind of shaped like this, comes around this way, and it comes up and it goes like that. And it's just like a boot almost, like that. Well, the Temple Mount was in the thin part toward the north. But if you come down and you went off to the west there was a suburb in the midst of the city. And that's where she lived. She lived in the suburb. So she lived in and among the people. And so Josiah sends a commission to her to find out what's going on. And as we have seen several times now through our reading of 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicle, and 1st and 2nd Kings, as we have read through that, we have seen that the Lord prizes, listen to me carefully, the Lord prizes repentance, humbling ourselves for our sins. He prizes that. He prizes it so much that even wicked Ahab, when he repented, the Lord said to the prophet, "You see how Ahab walketh softly before me and is humbled? Therefore, I'll not bring this destruction upon him." Ahab? Yeah, Ahab. The Lord prizes repentance. He prizes humility and the confession of sins. He prizes the weeping for our sins and the tearing of our clothes. He prizes that grief, that rightful grief that His people suffer when they are found out in their sins. He prizes that. So notice that Josiah prized it too. And notice Josiah's reaction to obedience here. When he hears what the Lord will do, he is indeed shot through. All right, so they come back with good and bad from Huldah. The good is that Josiah, because he was repentant, because he had the right heart, he will be spared to see the destruction that will come, but it will indeed come. It will come nonetheless. The Lord will fulfill what He had said. All right, so you think then at this point it might be over. Josiah would just retire, live in exile, just live quietly directing the affairs of state. I mean, he has done already quite a bit. They have cleansed the land of the idols, and he's rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem, the house of the Lord. You'd think that he'd be satisfied with that. He's not. He continues on even after the pronouncement of judgment. Brothers and sisters, this is a great example. And so even after the pronouncement of judgment, Josiah does the part of a good magistrate, and he stands before the people, and he swears out a covenant before the Lord, and he causes the people to stand to the covenant that they should be the Lord's people, that they should turn away from their idols. You see, Josiah was not going to do it for a mercenary spirit. He already knew the judgment was coming. Still, it is something to be pursued simply because it's right. It was not for the reward, although he may have hoped against hope that if the nation did turn, the Lord would allay his judgment. The Lord has done so before. But even if not, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You remember those guys? Standing before King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, "O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but we'll not bow down to your idol. And if he doesn't deliver us, that's okay. We're still not bound down to your idol. There's something that's right and something that's wrong. And it's right for us as a nation," Josiah says, "to repent, to covenant with the Lord our God, and to stand before him as God's people, whether he would judge us or not. This is what's required." So he turns away from a mercenary spirit. "Well, judgment's coming anyway. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Such never entered into the thoughts of Josiah, that righteous king. Let's stand and continue praising God then in the